بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام، ومن يرد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء، كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون. وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما، قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يذكرون. لهم دار السلام عند ربهم، وهو وليهم بما كانوا يعملون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي خلقنا وصورنا وآتانا من كل شيء هدى وعملا. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue our journey with the knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved creator, the almighty, king of the heavens and the earth, knower of the seen and the unseen. And today we are with two names of Allah, two very beautiful names of Allah, Al-Quddus and As-Salam. We start with the first name, Al-Quddus. Now these two names in the Quran came together. They came in a pair. In which surah? Does anybody know which surah it came in? Surah Al-Hashr. In Surah Al-Hashr, towards the end, a number of Allah's names are strung together. And two of those names that come together, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, As-Salam. In the Arabic language, Al-Quddus means the pure, the free of imperfection, the perfect. Who can tell me words in the Quran that share the same root? Qaddasa, yuqaddisu, Quddus. Can anybody tell me words in the Quran, not about Allah, but have the same letters? Qaddasa. There's a place by this name, Al-Quds, right? Al-Ardal Muqaddasa, the pure land, the perfect land. That is the idea. That is how Palestine is described in the Quran. The perfect land, Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, the place, the land free of impurity. There's a creation of Allah with this name, Ruhul Quddus. Who knows what is Ruhul Quddus? Where are the genius boys today? They're coming. Come, your place is waiting. Quick. Run. It's coming. Ruh al-Quddus is referring to whom? Jibril, the angel Jibril, alayhi salam. The spirit or the angel of purity, right? It's an extra, like an extra rank on his shoulder to know that Jibril, alayhi salam, is a special angel. Okay. And also, this word was used in the Quran when some creation of Allah was talking to Allah. They use this word, or a derivation of this word, these letters. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Qadasa. One of Allah's creations is talking to him and he uses these three letters. They use these three letters, yes. No, Prophet Musa. Okay, I'll give you a hint, not a human being. Not jinn either. The angels. وَنَحْنُ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Here, when they say to Allah, come, take your place, my friend, where have you been? When they say, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, the angels say to Allah, نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. It comes back to the same meaning of purity. We purify things for you. We do not involve any shirk, any sin, anything in anything that we do. Everything we put forward in front of you is pure. وَنَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. What does it mean to know that Allah is Al-Quddus? This pattern, this verb pattern, fu'ul, is very rare in the Arabic language. You know, usually you would say, you would use fa'il or fa'al. These are forms in the Arabic language used for something. When somebody is very frequently doing something or extremely good at something, you would use, for example, if somebody bakes a lot bread very well, you wouldn't say khabaz, you would say khabaz. Khubz meaning bread. You'd put it in a form that's fa'al, right? We've discussed this before many times. Quddus. The word Quddus refers to the fact that Allah is the ultimate perfection. There is no imperfection in Allah. There is nothing imperfect about Allah. Nothing wrong with Allah. And it's very hard for a human being to imagine this. But the descriptions of Allah are usually the opposite of our descriptions. So when we say Allah is perfect, what does it mean about you and me? We are imperfect. Now you tell me, if we were really to internalize this name of Allah, Al-Quddus, Allah is perfect. Everybody other than Allah, everything other than Allah is not perfect. How would this affect your life? Yes. Okay, if somebody wrongs you, somebody else does something wrong to you, you will not feel as bad because you're expecting people are not perfect. Yes. You'll feel much more humble in front of Allah. Yes.
Reinforces the fact that Allah is the only one that can be worshipped because everything else is imperfect.
Allahu Akbar. This is a very deep meaning. One of the meanings of Tawheed, when we say that Allah is the one, the only, to be worshipped, to be called on, to be made dua towards, etc. When we say this, Allah is the only one, all of this is deserved, all worship is deserved to. All of that stems from the fact that Allah is the perfect. And human beings by nature, they like to admire perfection. They like to look at something that's beautiful, something that's perfect. You see, today it might be a car passing by. And you just keep staring as it goes by because you're looking at the fineness of the design. It might be you go to those who appreciate art. I'm not one of them, unfortunately. You go to an art gallery and you see a painting and oh, you are just staring. You can't stop looking because of the perfection. Human beings by nature, when they see somebody or something that's perfect or close to perfect, the more perfect they are, the less negatives they have, the more you feel drawn to them, attracted to them, interested in them. Whether it's people, celebrities, whether it's art, whether it's books, anything with less and less imperfection, you automatically feel drawn to them. This name of Allah, Al-Quddus, entails the fact that He is maximally perfect. There is nothing, there is not a single imperfection with Allah. And that is what draws us to Allah. That is what makes us continue to stare, continue to think. As you look at the universe around Him, the universe around you and I, the world that Allah made. The Quran, when Allah describes the Quran, He says, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. He did not create any imperfection in the Quran because this is an extension of Allah. It's His speech. These are Allah's words. If Allah is perfect, can His speech be imperfect? Absolutely not. So the speech of Allah is perfect. Why do you think that the Arabs, when they heard the Quran, the classical Arabs, the before Islam, those who were the pinnacle of Arabic poetry and language, when they heard the Quran, they bowed down in front of it. They could not say anything to the Quran's language. The only thing they could do was insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, he is crazy. He's a magician. They never said, oh, that's a mistake in the Quran. Oh, that's not been spelled correctly. Right? Oh, the two words, they never criticized the language of the Quran because the Quran is Allah's speech. And if Allah is perfect, the Quran is perfect. And so if the Quran ever hits you, it affects you, it moves you, it's because that is the perfection of Allah. Al-Quddus. Whatever He does, whatever He creates, whatever, anything that comes from Him is also perfect. As-Salam. What does Allah's name As-Salam mean? Yes. The source of peace. P peace comes from Allah. This is one meaning of as-salam. What else? Yes. No, it's okay. Tell me, even if it's wrong.
As-salam is a greeting.
So okay, as-salam is a greeting. As-salamu alaykum. Yes. But Allah's name, as-salam.
The one who instills peace.
Okay, the one who gives peace, the one who instills peace. There's another meaning of salima in Arabic. Sorry?
Be healthy and...
Yes, okay, to be sound, to be healthy, to not have any... Similar to Quddus in this sense, right? Something that is... If you are salim al-badan in Arabic, salima, salim al-badan, the same root letter, salima, that means your body is safe, it's sound, it's healthy, there's nothing wrong with it, right? So in this sense, it also means it has a meaning of perfection. But there's another... Salam, there's another meaning of salam, yes. Okay, we talked about peace. Other than peace, yes.
Submission.
Istislam, to submit. Right? So Allah is the one who is submitted to. Everybody submits to Allah. Nobody can reject. Everybody is following, whether they like it or not, they are submitting to Allah. Everybody in this universe. Some consciously submit to Allah. This is the Muslim. But even the disbeliever submits to Allah. How? How does a disbeliever submit to Allah? Yes, Ishaq. Okay. Allah created some physical laws like gravity, and people who are walking, you are submitting to this law. These are the laws of Allah in this earth. If you see somebody flying, let me know. We'll find the exception to the rule. Yes. Okay, beautiful. So people know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is God or the creator, but they're too arrogant to submit to him. Okay. As-salam also refers to safety, to feel safe. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his name is As-salam, it means he makes you safe. He gives you safety. He gives you security. These are the meanings of As-salam. Let me go back to Allah's name, Al-Quddus. Something very important to think about. A few months ago, I was running a weekly class just for women, just for sisters. It was an open question and answer session. And for me, this was a good test to understand what do our young sisters think about, because that reflects in their question. What's on their mind will come in the question. 7 out of 10 questions, just imagine, what could it be about? What do you think? This is a specific group of young sisters at university, about 110 of them. What do you think they... Vast majority of the questions were about?
Like questioning the Quran.
Not questioning the Quran, no. Something more petty than that, yes.
Marriage.
Maybe they were shy to ask me about marriage. But there was a lot of questions about marriage, but not quite, yes? Not quite. But this is a common question, equality and rights with men. But this was not the most common question that I got, yes. Do you have your hand up, Mushtaba?
Maybe tranquility and peace.
I wish. Tranquility and peace. The most common questions I got was about cosmetics. Makeup, nail polish, mascara, eyelashes, bleach. And I was surprised at the amount of times and how often that this question would be asked. And I realized, and I asked them, why are you asking this question? Why is it that I keep getting more and more questions about physical appearance? Someone said it. Somebody was honest enough to say why it is that we keep asking these questions. They said, we crave the attention of men. And so our main concern, a lot of us are concerned, we're constantly thinking about how are we seen? How do they perceive us? Do they give us attention? And this is not limited to women. This is also to men today. Today, because today we live in the world of social media. And everybody on social media is giving you the perfect image of them. In fact, it's not even the image, because there's so many filters and edits. That's probably, if you know, sometimes this happens in marriage proposals. You get the picture. Okay, mashallah, very beautiful. You go to meet the person. Is it the same person? The picture was so edited, photoshopped, so much, you know, so much cosmetic, so much was different from the picture. And in real life, you're looking, you're thinking it's not the same person. We live today in the world of people being obsessed with image. and the perfection of image. And everything they do on social media is to put out this mask. I am this perfect person. Look at me. You know, the most common question I got from within these questions about appearance was specifically about the use of concealer. Anybody know what is concealer?
The thing that conceals the blemishes.
Exactly. It is a type of makeup, a type of powder used by women to conceal, to cover blemishes in the face, spots, patches, marks. Why are people thinking so much about this? Because this is something deep. I'm not now discussing something that's limited to a group of women thinking about makeup. No, this is something even the men are worried about. Not mascara. What is everybody in today's society thinking about? How can I make myself look perfect to others? How can I remove every imperfection in the way I put myself in front of others? هَذَا شُغْلُهُمُ الشَّاغِلِ. And the younger they get, the more obsession there is. Between the ages of 14 and 18 today, according to various statistical studies, 30 to 50% of young adults hate how they look. They hate how they look. They call it self-loathing. They look in the mirror and they feel disgusted by them, by their looks. This is 30 to 50% of young adults. Why do you think? What got them to this situation? Where they look at themselves and they think, I'm ugly. And they're disgusted. They want to cover. They want to beautify. Because they cannot stand to even see their look in the mirror. How did we get here? Who can tell me? How did this happen? Yes.
Because they're seeing all these perfect images of other people.
MashaAllah. What's your name, young man?
Abdullah.
Abdullah, join the line of genius. Come sit in front. Come. You have been promoted. Abdullah's been promoted to the line. Alhamdulillah. So, they are constantly exposed to pictures of people who are perfect. In the 1950s to the 1980s, a big propaganda was done, you know, in media. Remember, this is the start of the colorful screen. Who's watched something in black and white? Who remembers the black and white days? What? Anybody remember Charlie Chaplin? Yes, those were days, different days. It's black and white, you know, it's no sound, there's nothing special, right? No colors. When colored images started to be shown on TV screen, one of the first images that began broadcasting throughout the world was the image of this blonde, fair, slim woman called Marilyn Monroe. Do not Google her name, please. I'm not encouraging anybody. But this is a historical fact. And this woman's image was pumped on every screen, every magazine, every newspaper throughout the world. It was globalized. Until every man in the world, when he thought about beauty, he thought about this woman. What's the result of this? The country I'm from in India. What do you think is the most popular product in a pharmacy? The most popular product. It's not Panadol. It's not paracetamol. It's something else. Sorry? More specific. Not hair. I wish it was. Yes. What kind of cream? Fair and lovely. Cream that says it will make you look whiter. This is the most popular and most bought cream in India. Why? For centuries, these people were happy with the color of their skin. Why did they suddenly start to be obsessed with looking white? Yes. Yes, young man, tell me. Yes?
This is obvious.
It's obvious, yes? The white man took over the colored screen, right? People's definition of beauty became this white woman, this white man on the television screen shown throughout the world. It warped, it changed their idea of beauty to the extent they started looking at themselves and thinking, who is this ugly creature? One in three young girls between the ages of 12 and 16 harmed themselves with a sharp object. A sharp object, I'm not talking about a toothpick. I'm talking about a knife, a compass. They make themselves bleed. They scratch their skin. Why? Because they hate the way they look. One in three young girls. Then they say to us, integrate into society. Why would I integrate into something that's disintegrating? No, thank you. It's okay. You can keep it. This sad scenario that we have today, this obsession with looks, this obsession with one particular form of beauty and everything else is ugly. A group of sociologists did a study across 5 countries, 4 European countries and 1 Muslim country. I'm not going to tell you the name of the Muslim country. 4 European countries and 1 Muslim country. What did they do? They spoke to 100 people in each of these countries and they asked them a number of questions. All about this. How do you feel about your beauty, your body? You hate yourself, you love yourself, you appreciate, where is it? Where are you in the spectrum? And why do you feel so much about, so this way about yourself? Of all the 5 countries that were surveyed, 4 European, 1 Muslim country, the country where people had the most healthy and good appreciation of their beauty was the Muslim country. And these non-Muslim research, they wrote down that it must be due to the hijab. Because Islam teaches you modesty, haya, for men and for women. It teaches you not to flaunt it, not to show all your beauty, but to cover it. Because that beauty is not for everybody to see, for men and for women. So all those brothers who are trying to show their pecs and their six packs on Instagram and covering, you know, wearing trousers up to their belly button and then flexing for the camera, and they think we are, mashallah, we are showing haya, we are Muslim influencers. Please read the Quran and influence yourselves to learn about what does haya mean. Haya, modesty, means not to show, not to flaunt, to cover, to hide. Why do people need to know the size of your biceps? Right? This is the obsession of today. When you go into the gym, every gym has one thing in common. There's one piece of equipment every gym has. It's not the bench press, it's something else. It's unrelated to exercise. It has nothing to do with exercise. Every gym has it, the mirror. Why does every gym have a mirror? For thousands of years, people exercised, they never had a mirror. What's the mirror for? To admire yourself. To look at yourself and to be obsessed with yourself. We are the generation of protein shakes, of perfect bodies, obsession, of hating ourselves. And all of this, why? This study that was done across 5 countries, what was the number one reason people have reached the position, young people have reached the position, they hate how they look? What was the number one factor? The media. Social media, the media, what they watch, the Netflix that they watch, Amazon Prime subscriptions, the movies that they watch. They're constantly exposed to images of so-called perfect, of men and women in a specific shape, in a specific form of beauty, and they are exposed to it again and again and again until they don't know anything else but this. When they look at themselves in the mirror, they don't recognize it. How does this relate to the names of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ is talking to somebody about arrogance. One of his companions says, Ya Rasulallah, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبَهُ حَسَنْ وَنَعْلَهُ حَسَنْ. People would love, people like, a person likes to beautify their clothes and beautify how they dress and how they smell and how they look. Is this arrogance? Is this pride? The Prophet ﷺ said, La, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah, one of his names is Al-Jamil, the ultimate beauty. And he loves beauty. There's a saying in English, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And what that means is for everybody, beauty is something different. It's in your eyes. It's not in the person you're looking at. Imagine somebody who has been married for 30, 40, 50 years. Their spouse is old, wrinkled, tired. You know, maybe they can't even move. Maybe they are disabled. But they look and they feel this is the most beautiful person on the earth. Because seeing beauty is about the one who sees. It's not about the object they are looking at. You ask a mother, you know, there's a famous kind of story, I don't know about his authenticity, that a king, he asked the women of his republic, bring me the most beautiful child in this city. And every mother came with their son, with their child. Why? Every mother sees their child is the most beautiful. Every parent sees their child is the most beauty is the eye. You are the one that defines what is beautiful and what is not. If we want to return to a healthy way of appreciating beauty, we have to start limiting what we consume. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about what you see on social media, what you see, what you watch. Everything you watch, it has an impact on your mind. And the more you expose yourself to that nudity, to that nakedness, to that those forms of beauty, the more you will only see that. I cannot tell you how much I complain about brothers. And this is specifically, I've only recently anyway, my complaint is specifically for some brothers. They're looking to get married. I bring them one potential. oh, I'm not attracted to her. I'll bring another one. Not attracted to her. Another one. After I reach the 16th one, I say, I'm never going to help this brother again. Your levels, your standards of beauty are so high, maybe you have to go back to the 60s and find Marilyn Monroe. I don't know. I cannot help you, brother. You know, converted to Islam and Allah help you. I cannot help you. But I cannot blame him. He doesn't realize it's what he's been watching. It's who he's been following. It's those hijabi influencers and hijab makeup tutorials that he's been, you know, seeing in his suggested video list on YouTube. Inna Allah jamilun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. And part of that means everything Allah created has beauty in it. Everything Allah created has beauty in it. But it is upon us to appreciate the beauty. And the moment we start looking at ourselves in the mirror and feeling disgusted, we are actually insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have started now to reach the position where Allah is Al-Quddus, the perfect, but no, we want perfection in everything that we see. We want perfection in ourselves. And that is not asked from anybody. Part of understanding Allah's name Al-Quddus means embrace the imperfect. Accept, enjoy the fact that you and me as human beings, we will never be perfect. But there is a beauty in every blemish. In every ugliness, there is a beauty because it depends on who is looking. It doesn't depend on the one that's being looked at. In everything Allah created, there is something to appreciate. But we have reached this sorry situation. It affects marriages. You know, people, young people get married and their expectation of what to see in marriage is so high because they've been watching Bollywood rom-coms and they think that this is what love is, this is what romance is. You think you're always going to be holding hands and walking on in the middle of some island? You know, some of the uncles here with gray hair, go ask them, what is marriage? What is love? How do I sustain a marriage? They will tell you. Don't watch these rubbish movies. These guys know nothing about love, nothing about romance, nothing about marriage. Ask the uncles. You know, there's one uncle. He's not here today. He has traveled for some time. One day he's sitting in the corner reading Quran and I asked him, you know, he has 8 children. And this is not uncommon in the Somali people. The number of children, you know, and maybe potentially multiple wives. And you ask such people, how did you maintain this married life? How did you look after this? These are the people who will teach you about marriage. Where are you going? Where are we going? We're looking for marriage advice from this influencer, that Instagram star, that YouTuber, you know, that movie and this TV serial. And the people who know, whose hair is gray with experience are amongst us. We should ask them. We should look at them. We should start reducing our consumption. You know, people today have become so health conscious. You wouldn't be surprised. Just walk on any road where there's restaurants, you'll find like 3 vegan cafes. You know, health conscious cafes. Everything is like, they tell you how many grams of carbohydrates is in your meal. People have become extremely health conscious today. They are so wary what goes into their body. They will tell you how many steps they walk today. Who here knows how many, who here is monitoring their steps? How many steps have you walked today, Habibi? What was the last number of steps you remember? Tell me. Tell me, tell me. You've not been monitoring your steps. Oy hak. Who can remember the number of steps? Who is monitoring the steps? Be honest with me. Yes. 21,000 today. Yeah. MashaAllah. Inshallah. 21,000 steps to Furqan Masjid and home. MashaAllah. Today, people are so conscious about what they consume. What diet, carbohydrates, protein, how many steps I'm taking. But what their heart is consuming, they don't care. The eye is the entry point to the heart. Every time you see something that you shouldn't be seeing, one black dot is placed on the heart. It's hadith in Sahih Muslim. Until what happens to the heart? It becomes blackened. No reminders affected. Kalkuzi mujakhir. It reaches a point where this heart is so rusted, it's so black, nothing can enter it. You know, have you seen the picture of people who die from chain smoking? Their lungs are black. There's no oxygen in those lungs at the end of its life. Finished, you know. The heart can become like this as well. And what is the thing that affects the heart the most? What we see, what we hear. If you can count the number of steps you are walking per day, you should be able to count the amount of times that you saw something haram today. You should be so worried about that. If you can tell me how many grams of carbohydrates, you know, and how many calories you are allowed to eat today for your bulking regime, you should be able to tell me how many pages of Quran you've read today. زَيِّنُوا أَعْيُنَكُمْ بِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ Beautify your eyes by looking at Allah's creation. And do not uglify your heart by looking at that which is prohibited. Because the more you do so, self-harming of young girls, broken marriages, you know, people obsessed. Do you know how many billions of dollars are made by selling cosmetics to men and women? Hair oil, makeups, creams, you know, natural oil. How many billions of dollars this industry makes? What is it preying on? What is it eating? It's eating our insecurity. The more ugly we feel, the more we spend money on these things. But here's one thing very important. This is not something the Quran has just told us, but all the psychologists tell you. If you don't have self-esteem, if you do not appreciate the beauty Allah gave you, no makeup, no oil, no cream can help you. If you are brought up to hate yourself, the color of your skin, the blemish on your face, the shape of your body, no cream will help you. Even 12 sessions of therapy with a psychologist will not help you. You have to come back to a healthy place where you appreciate the creation of Allah and the blessings of Allah. You need a reset. You need a detox. Get rid of everything that you see. Get rid of the faces, the images, the bodies that you are exposed to regularly. And instead interact with normal people. Appreciate the creation of Allah. Appreciate the small things Allah has given you. The beauty that He has given you. You know, today they tell people who are struggling with self-image issues, people who cut themselves because they think they're ugly, they tell them every day, write down three beautiful things about yourself. And this is before all of this happened. You know, if you create the problem, don't come and give me the solution. You created the problem in the first place. We have to be careful the media that we consume. Otherwise, rather than seeing Allah as Al-Quddus, we start to see ourselves as Quddus. Taqdeesul insan, taqdeesul ashkhas. This is the philosophy of the 21st century. The human being has become the perfect. You know, in the 18th, 19th, 20th century, the last 300 years, when the vast majority of the Western world stopped believing in Allah, believing in God, human beings will always worship something perfect. This is a rule of humanity. Human beings will always worship something perfect. Al-ibadatu fitriya, fitratun insaniya. When they stopped worshiping Allah, what did people start to worship? Themselves. The human being became the God. Ta'alihul insan. You know, where do you think all these superheroes come from? It's very innocent ideas. Kids watch the cartoons all the time. This guy can fly. That guy, he's got some x-ray vision. Where did this idea came from? These superheroes, superpowers, human beings having supernatural abilities, this did not exist in stories before the 18th, 19th century. It came from this idea that the human being is now God. So he can fly. He can look at something and it turns to stone. He can do this and he can do that because now the human being is the new God. Today, the human beings are trying to prevent death. Approximately $200 billion is spent every year on cryogenics, a science that makes human beings delay death. People want to be immortal. They want to live forever. People want to be super. But all of that is saved for Allah. La tuqaddisu anfusakum. La tuzakku anfusakum. Allah tells us, don't try to be perfect. Don't think you are perfect. Don't think that you are me. You are you. Stay imperfect. The more imperfect you are, the more humble you are in front of Allah. The more you realize you are a faqir, you are a miskeen, you are needy, you are broken, the more you will cry in sujood in front of Allah. You will submit. You cannot submit to someone you think you are more powerful in front of. When police come, when you get stopped on the side of the road for speeding, you raise your hands. This is submission. This is how you start salah. Takbiratul ihram starts like this. This is submission. You will never do this in front of somebody you think you are more powerful. You only do this in front of someone who thinks you think has power over you. To submit to Allah. At-tasleem. This is what submission is in Arabic. Al-istislam. To submit to Allah, al-istislam, we have to believe He is as-salam. He is the perfect. He is the powerful. And we are the imperfect. We are the broken. You have to admit in order to submit in front of Allah. Jalla Jalalu. I didn't intend to go on such a long tangent around history and media, but this is important. This is today, my friends. This is the names of Allah in our life today. Inna Allaha Jamilun Yuhibbul Jamal. Allah created mercy and beauty in everything. But we have to appreciate this beauty. If we don't, our families will start to break. Our minds will start to break. We will start to lose ourselves. How many people commit suicide on a yearly basis? How many people commit suicide because they don't like who they are? They don't appreciate who they are. This is a misunderstanding of Allah. It all comes back to Allah and our knowledge of Allah. Assalamu alaikum. This is the greeting that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. What is the meaning of Assalamu alaikum? Many of us think it means, may peace be unto you, correct? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the famous scholar, he says in his book, Fathul Bari, many scholars, they said that this Assalam, in the greeting Assalamu alaikum, is referring to Allah's name, Assalam. So we're not saying, may peace be with you. We're saying, may Allah, the source of peace, be with you. May Allah be with you. That's what you're saying. When you say Assalamu alaikum, according to many scholars, you're not just saying, may peace be, you're saying, may Allah be with you. Allah is the source of peace. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turns around at the end of salah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. He turns around. And who does he see sitting in front of him? A man by the name of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Can somebody tell me something about Mu'adh ibn Jabal? Who can tell me something about Mu'adh ibn Jabal?
Habibi. First ambassador of Islam.
The first ambassador of Islam. What else can you tell me about Mu'adh ibn Jabal? Ishaq.
Was he the Sahabi that when he died, the Lord
didn't throw him? Nope, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Close, yes. Okay, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, very handsome. What else? Yes. Sorry? He was sent to Yemen. What else? Yes. Good. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Prophet later describes him. He says, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ مُعَاذ. My most knowledgeable companion when it comes to halal and haram is Mu'adh. So this man is an extremely, he becomes a scholar. Now, one day the Prophet ﷺ turns around after salah and he sees Mu'adh sitting there. And he says, فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِهِ. He took his hand. And he says, يَا مُعَاذ, إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ. Oh Mu'adh, I love you so much. فَلَا تَدَعَنَّ. Never forget, whenever you finish salah, to say, اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ السَّلَامُ. Oh Allah, you are the one that gives peace. وَمِنْكَ السَّلَامُ. And from you comes all peace. تَبَارَكْتَ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. This hadith became a tradition amongst the hadith scholars. Whenever a teacher would teach this statement to their student, they would first grab the student's hand and say, I love you. So don't forget to say, as our teacher sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, you are the source of peace. You know, one of the beautiful things we learn from this hadith. If you believe Allah is as-salam, the source of peace, your heart will be filled with love for His creation. If you know Allah, it will fill you with mercy and love. Don't look just at the information the Prophet ﷺ passed down to Mu'adh. Look at how he passed the information. Did he have to hold his hand? Did he have to say, I love you? If somebody held your hand and say, I love you, whatever they tell you, you're going to listen to them. The Prophet ﷺ was the best of teachers. Today we have a generation of people who they learn Islam from the internet, from YouTube refutations. This is where they learn Islam from. They never had a sheikh, a teacher, hold the hand and say, Inni la uhibbuk, I love you for the sake of Allah. Don't forget to say Allahumma anta salam. They might not even know to say Allahumma anta salam after salah. Their priorities are mixed up. Islam is first about shooting down people. Mubtadi', fasiq, dal, mudil. Once you've shot everybody, somebody comes and tells you, do you know after salah you should say Allahumma anta salam? Really? I didn't know about that. Maybe you should have prioritized this. It is not just, ilm is not information. You know, knowledge is not just a piece of information. You have to take it in the correct way. You know, when somebody serves you food, they put it in the right plate, in the right platter, with the right toppings, the right garnishing. If somebody put biryani on the floor and said, come and eat it from the carpet, my friend, would you be interested in that biryani? No. Today, the knowledge people take today from the internet, from random videos and random snippets on Google searches and in social media, this is biryani on the floor. How is knowledge to be taken? How is it to be conveyed? The Prophet ﷺ said in Sunan Abi Dawud, تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ. He said to his companions, today you are hearing from me, and one day people are going to hear from you. Knowledge is passed from body to body, person to person, knee to knee, hand to hand. When Jibreel alayhi salam came to teach the Prophet ﷺ something, how did he sit in front of him? Knee to knee. And he put his hand on his thighs. This is how knowledge is transmitted, body to body, person to person, from mouth to mouth. This is the silsila, the isnad, the chain, the unbroken chain. Today we have so many broken chains. Somebody's learning about Islam. Where do you learn from? Islam QA. Google search. Random YouTube video. Then are we surprised that when they live Islam, when they act upon Islam, something is broken? Islam is taken from people, from shuyukh, from teachers, reputable people. Not from pieces of paper. Not from the internet. This is a side point. Come back. What did he teach him? Allahumma anta salam. After every salah, never forget to say this. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ held somebody's hand, lovingly said, I love you. If you love somebody, you're going to tell something very important to them. Never forget to say, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Oh Allah, you are the source. What does it mean? Allah is the source of peace. And from Him only comes peace. What does that mean? So many people today are searching for peace. When they buy a holiday to go to the Caribbean and sit on the beach, that's what they're looking for. They go all the way there, then the notifications don't stop. There's no peace of mind. Where does peace come from? There's an ayah in the Quran. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. The heart will only find peace in the remembrance of Allah. As-salam. In this world, people will sell you so many things. Peace, freedom, freedom of mind, all of these things. Don't buy it. You can purchase every product in the world, but the only one that will give you peace is the remembrance of As-Salam, Allah, the source of peace, the giver of peace. If He doesn't give you peace, nothing on this earth can give you peace. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. One thing I will end with. Allah calls the afterlife, Jannah, Darus Salam, the land of peace. That means in this world, you will always have some lack of peace, some conflict, some issue, some fight, some argument. There will always be some headache in this world. If you want Darus Salam, it's not in Tanzania. It's in the afterlife. And the path to the afterlife, Allah calls it Subul As-Salam, the roads of peace. Because the most peaceful one in this world, in this horrible and noisy and scary world, is the person who is walking while remembering Allah. There's nobody more peaceful than this person. That's why the Prophet ﷺ informs us, "Ad-dunya jannatul mu'min." This worldly life is the paradise for a believer. Because in this worldly life, you are experiencing that peace of mind and that sakina, that serenity and that happiness in this world. Not because things are perfect, but because you are connected with Allah, the source of peace. These are the Subul As-Salam, the roads of peace. They lead to Dar As-Salam, the land of peace. And when you enter Jannah, what's the first thing you will hear from Allah? Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. He will greet you with salam. Live with Allah As-Salam in this world. Walk the roads of salam, of peace in this world, by dhikr, by connection to Him. You will arrive at the land of peace, of salam in the afterlife, and you will be greeted with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And I think the time for adhan has arrived. 10 minutes left. Wudu, nawafil, inshallah. I'll see you in 10 minutes. We have some questions?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know how you're talking about cryogenics?
Yeah.
What would happen to the roof if they somehow managed to keep your body alive? What would happen to the roof?
I have no idea. You're asking the wrong person. You need to ask a doctor. Yes, it's a good point. The ruh, the soul is Allah's creation. And it's one of the mysteries of Allah. We don't know the mechanics of how it works. So if they were to keep the bodies functioning forever, maybe Allah will take the ruh when the time comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who... They may try with the body, but when the time comes, the time comes. Allah knows best. Another question? Yes, Sheikh. Brother wants to take shahada. Fi akh. Does somebody want to take shahada?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Sheikh Muhammad is here?
Yeah.
Khalas. Bismillah. Bring the big sheikh. Stop the recording. Or if you want.